There are in our lives moments that change forever the way that we think of society and humankind. Days where you remember where you were and what you were doing. Days like the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Or the year that the planes crashed into the Twin Towers. As I looked at our lessons for this morning, and I got to thinking that if I were either of these two individuals, Isaiah or Peter, I would never forget that moment. I would never forget that day, that year. As Luke tells it, the call comes after Jesus has achieved a kind of rock star-like fame. He's so popular in Galilee. The first disciples, they're responding to a teacher and a leader who is compelling and commanding and beckoning others to new life and transformation. Unlike the stories of Mark and Matthew, he's not a novice rabbi in this story, but really a self-actualized preacher who can spin a sermon out of thin air. In Luke, Jesus is shown calling others into a power and a witness that they've never imagined before and will never know again. Out there in the boat, sailing into the deep water, Simon Peter catches a glimpse of Jesus' transforming power. And he falls before him in a moment of profound recognition. He's lost in his own story of inadequacy and limitation. You see, the notion of calling, and we have two stories of calling this morning, is an important one in the Christian tradition. To call comes from the Latin word vocare, or vocation. A calling is the work that we're supposed to do in the world. The thing we're supposed to spend our lives in. A calling is from God, is something different than work, in that it is truly a sacred vocation. The point where our gifts meet the needs of the world. Now this call is almost an echo. The world cries out of its need and we respond from a place that is deep within us. In our postmodern world, our lives are filled with all sorts of calls. And they come from all kinds of directions. Some of us struggle, I think, to hear our call. We don't see clearly what we're supposed to be doing in the world. Others of us are so inundated by information and invitations and constant activity that we wonder if we'll ever hear a clear call to discipleship. An understanding of our purpose for our lives. It's a pure pleasure to hear a story like ours from Luke this morning. A story of fishermen who were given a clear and an unmuddled call to change their lives. And they respond accordingly. We might even feel a little bit envious at the simplicity of their calling. Because it's not so easy for us. We've got thousands of vocations to choose from and equally as many roles to play in our complex and demanding lives. So I wonder, who do we listen to in order to figure out our sacred calling? What voices are we hearing, and what are those voices saying to us about who we are and how we should live? Can we trust the call that we receive? What do we hear above and below the clamor of life? Well, there's an old story about a guy who isn't a very good farmer, and so he decides to take a call to be a preacher. And he's a terrible preacher. When one of his flocks asked him, how he got the idea to be a preacher. He said, "I saw the clouds gather in the sky and the letters GPC emerge." He said, "I took this to mean go preach Christ." His neighbor replied, "My friend, in your case, I think it probably meant go plant corn." But seriously, how are we supposed to listen for God? What are the voices that are calling us? What should we trust, and who can we turn to when we, like Peter, feel profoundly confused and unworthy? Now for me, part of the answer to these questions comes from diving deep into my soul. Peter was fishing in Galilee, and suddenly he found himself dropping into deep water. It's not only about the work you have to do or even want to do making a living. It's about going into the deep and meeting the divine there and listening intently to what is being said to you in that place. Peter dropped from one reality into a new one. And it was scary. It was an exciting time, filled with fluidity and with freedom for him. God moves through us in these times, and in that movement, anything can happen to us. The movement of God can change everything. And we need only to be available to listen and to hear what's being told us. I've learned over time that whenever God calls us, it is a dangerous, it's a precarious time. Peter responded to his call with fear and a sense of his own limitations. It's a common response. When we're confronted by the sheer power and beauty of God's love, we want to shrink back and we want to play like we're unworthy. Or we want to leap out of the boat because we'd rather swim alone than chance it with others. I think that it is in these difficult and dangerous moments that we can arrive at the very core of our calling. That we can hear with a greater clarity and a greater assurance our vocation, our calling as children of God. Most of the time we're consumed with the worries of this world. Think of your list of things to do and accomplish either today or this week. Run through your checkbook or the receipts in your wallet and see how much time and money we spend simply trying to live. Try keeping an account of the phone calls you make or the emails you send and receive in a very short period of time. How we work, where we live, who we love, it's all certainly a part of our vocation. But I believe our calling is revealed to us when our hearts are restless, when we sense the precarious nature of our lives. Our calling may come when a parent dies or when someone you love receives a terminal illness. It may come with the loss of a job or the loss of a spouse. It may come in a time of war or through a longing of peace. The call may come through your hands that want to create or cook or plant or paint. Or a voice that needs to sing or speak. Or a powerful mind that has to learn or a heart that wants to give. Our deepest vocation emerges through our willingness to listen for God in the midst of our living. To Isaiah, that voice came in a mystical vision. And it simply said, go. To Peter, the voice came as an invitation. Come. called. Sometimes kicking and screaming into new life. We're called sometimes through our crying and our grief into new life. We're called by a still small voice or through a shattering explosion into the presence of the living and loving God. One thing I know for sure, to be named as a child of God is to be sent into a life rich with grace and fraught with pain and the power of living. We're called as God's beloved and we're sent forth by God to the places we most need to go and where the world most needs to receive us. Peter came back from that fishing trip changed forever. He became a relentless disciple for good in the world with all of his missteps. God called him out and put him on a sacred path, and he was never the same. Where to begin? Prophet Micah reminds us to simply love kindness, do justice, and walk humbly with our God. That's where our deepest gifts will meet the needs of the world, in that sacred place. Let me end with the words of John Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement and devoted his life to seeking God. He embraced goodness as a form of loving God. He wrote this: "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can." Amen.
In our prayers today, we pray for Russ Boots Butenhoff, who is with us today. We pray for Tom Gregory. I talked to Pat late yesterday afternoon. He is up after 7.5 hours of surgery. So we pray for them and all their caregivers, their families and friends, because of all the anxiety and suffering that they have, and all those who are in pain in so many different ways, for so many different reasons. We also pray for Tammy Miller and Reggie Hertz, who were married on August 15 here at First Congregational Church, and those who share their joy. We pray for those traveling today on this last weekend of the summer, and also the migrants and their caregivers traveling from war-torn countries to safety in Europe. We have so many other prayer concerns, and let us now take a moment for those intentions deep within our hearts.
Eternal God, Heavenly Father, come and help us to feel your presence among us. Give us your guidance as we worship this day. For we ask for your vision, so that we might see the world through your eyes. Grant us a strong faith and courage. and disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. When our dreams have come true because we dream too little, disturb us, Lord. Disturb us when, with the abundance of things we possess, we've lost our thirst for the waters of life and ceased to dream of eternity. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture onto wider seas where storms will show your mastery, where in losing sight of land we shall find the stars. We ask, dear God, that you push back the horizons of our hopes. Guide us into the future with a strength and a courage, with a hope and a love. We offer our prayer in your Son's name. Amen.